Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, the first guy that immediately comes to mind from is Stephen Castle from UConn. He is a guy that has had a fascinating freshman season, very highly touted coming into the year, was a lot of people's number one preseason guy, kind of fell off because the shot just wasn't there, and it really hasn't been there all season. It still isn't there. It's starting to feel, it feels like it's trending in the right direction a little bit, where he's at least shooting it. When he's completely left wide open, he's taking it confidently. That complete hesitation and passing up wide open looks every single possession is gone, but he's starting to do literally everything else on the court at a really, really high level. We're recording this a couple hours after they beat Xavier. And just another really well-rounded game from him, where 10 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 2 for 3 from the line, 4 of 10 from the field, and 0 for 2 from 3. But I like that 3-point attempt is 2 or more attempts. Obviously, it'd be nice if they went in, but the fact that he's just taking them, that was my biggest gripe with him for most of the season. The fact that he's starting to take them is a really, really big sign for me in terms of just confidence and willingness to shoot, because it changes everything. At the end of the day, he'll probably have to shoot it to really make it to the, you know, to reach his peak, obviously, in the NBA. But he's just done everything else on the court at a really extremely high level this year.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that we were projecting in the beginning of the year to be a dynamic, multi-level offensive threat, and he's transitioned now to a stud defender at 6'6 with the ability to fill up the box scores. He's been flirting with triple doubles this year. You know, it's going to be the million-dollar question. It's why we talk to scouts and executives, and they're all saying the second part of the draft process this year is going to be bigger than ever, because teams are going to see Stephon Castle in person. They're going to be like, can he shoot it? Yeah. You know, when Stephon Castle gets done with the UConn's tournament run, he's going to start shooting. He's going to work on his outside shot immediately, because he knows that's the swing for him. If he can prove enough in front of NBA personnel to make them feel comfortable with the progression of his shot, he's going to be a name that climbs throughout the pre-draft process. Because, like we said, 6'6 with feel, and the defense has become a serious, serious weapon this year.
And just coming into this year, I thought he was a bad defender in high school.
So which shows the mentality. Yes, and that shows the mentality of what he's bought into. There was preseason buzz from UConn practices about just what he was doing defensively, and you were like, whoa, wait, what? That's a big development. So I know our own Corey Tolliball is at the Big East tournament and praised. He was very, very, like, I texted him today. I was like, thoughts so far? And, you know, this is, I texted him when Castle, I think, was like 0 for 5 from the field to start the game. And he was like, man, early Chicago Bulls Jimmy Butler vibes. And that's a heck of an endorsement. So I think there's just a lot of upside with his game. I understand if the range is going to be wide moving forward, because I think if you're either buying the shot, you're in a big way. If you're not buying it, he could go later. So there's a lot of guys on that UConn team. You know, I'll go next, and I'll stay with
it. Let's stick on Castle just for a couple minutes.
Okay. Sorry. What I was saying is, UConn, we know if you follow the draft closely, a deep tournament run can get your buzz cooking.
Yeah.
And I know what we all just said about don't get too high, don't get too low, but the media pumps up if you're impressing and you have a lengthy tournament run, because now all the eyes are on you. So it could get cooking in a hurry for Castle if he keeps impressing.
Yeah, and UConn's projected to be a one seed, so they're looking to repeat. And I really think if Castle plays a major factor in that and shoots 35% from three, I think that's going to be way more than enough for people to kind of start considering him as a legit top five guy, maybe even higher. he's been at two for me for a couple weeks now. I get the hesitations. I had all of them earlier in the year. But just his willingness to play a new role, because in high school, he was the point guard. Everything stemmed off of what he did, his gravity, his playmaking, his decision-making. We've seen flashes of that from him this year with the second unit, or as like a second side creator, but the bulk of his play has been as an off-ball guy with cutting, offensive rebounding, running in transition, running that second side pick and roll, and he's thrived in it. He's done a whole bunch of stuff and played a completely different role than we ever saw from him before he got to UConn. And that malleability, that willingness to adjust your game, change your tendencies, change your habits, and play, be a different player on a team that's the reigning national champion with expectations to do so again, and now be a major part of that rotation, that's really encouraging to me. So yes, the shot isn't there yet. He ranks in the 34th percentile in spot-up shooting. Don't love that. He also ranks in the 90th percentile in transition, 84th percentile in pick and roll, 80th in offensive rebounds, 75th in handoffs, and the 85th in pick and roll when you add in his passes. I just think there's so much to like. I think there's so much IQ. There's so much feel for the game there, where if you're a really crappy team at the very top of the draft and he just has a strong tournament, not an outlandish tournament, but a strong tournament that convinces you that he's the real deal, I'm not sure there are many more intriguing guys to take a swing on when you're looking at the top 3 to 5 picks.
I mean, it's tough because we can say this every year for a lot of guys, but I think Stephon Castle, this is how high I think of him. I think if the shot gets unlocked, I think he could be the best player in this class. Like, I really do. Like, I watched his high school game against Ron Holland and Duncanville. They were the number one team in the country. He dropped 41. He had a towel hanging from his nose. He took over that game. And if you get that guy to start believing in the outside shot with now the development defensively at 6'6", like, this isn't a 6'3 guard. We're talking 6'6 combo guard with feel, two-way upside. I do really think, like, if that shot gets unlocked, we could be doing a redraft in 3 years and being like, Castle's a top three, if not number one player. But
the flip side
is the big word. Flip side's there too. If the shot doesn't get unlocked, maybe this is a good question. If the shot doesn't get unlocked, mm-hmm. but it gets to low 30% from three, could he still find a way to play in the league for a very long time? I do believe now, because of the defensive strides and the playmaking, I believe he could find a way. Like, we've seen other guys really figure out how to latch on forever. So I just think maybe the floor is higher with Castle than we think, and the ceiling is really damn high. So
yeah,
we talked about it before we even hit record. I was like, man, I can't move him. I love him up there. I've got him in my top six, I think. I'm going to swing on that one, and I'm going to be patient.
I agree. But UConn is a title favorite for a reason, and it's not just because of Stephon Castle. So who is the next player, or the first player on your list?
I'm going to stay with UConn so we can just hammer this out. I'm going to say Donovan Clingan. I really do think the big man's starting to heat up. We don't have to go crazy in depth with this one. But I will say, Corey, again, one of the first things he said to me is Castle is humongous as expected, but he is extremely long.
You mean Clingan?
I was like, Clingan. He said Clingan is humongous as I expected, but he's also freakishly long, which I was like, okay. So I think Clingan, we've been talking about this the last couple episodes as he was starting to really progress. If he can stay healthy and they have a lengthy run and he keeps producing, keeps being an impact on the defensive side of the ball, the playmaking, I think, is really starting to intrigue too. If the minutes are high and he's really being a force, I think this is the time where Clingan could start really cementing himself as a top 10 guy, especially with a lot of the questions around these guys. I think teams are going to be intrigued if he can play serious minutes and be a force, and it looks like it's trending that way. Like, he had another solid game today, filled up the box score, but I want to see, as these games get tougher, can Clingan stay on the court? Can he stay out of foul trouble? Can he keep doing what he's doing? Because you know, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea at 7'2", 280. But I also think people got to remember what he was doing last year when it was running the break and throwing down alley-oops, and he can move. But again, medicals are going to be humongous. That second half of the draft process is going to be humongous, especially for Klingon.
Yeah, and the foot injuries scare the crap out of me. Someone that big, especially multiple in the same year, horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. But God, he's good. And the foot injuries are, you know, a month ago or so, I was kind of out on him because it's like, God, I don't trust you to stay healthy. So why am I going to take you in the top 20? Yeah, just slander.
Apollo, shots fired. Yeah, Someone said Castle's this season's Johnny Davis for Metcalf. That's personal. That's personal.
How dare you?
Apollo. How dare you?
God,
now you're could have passed that
just derailing the whole show.
Oh, gosh.
No, but he's back in my lottery because he's just been that good on both ends of the floor. He's that dominant. Physically, there's one person in the country who can deal with him, and he's probably going to win his second straight player of the year from Purdue. It's just, and you know, the thing with Klingon is, yeah, he's big, and a lot of his numbers and production right now just come from him being such a physical presence compared to everyone else he's going against. But I think there's a lot more agility and kind of nimbleness to him and skill that hasn't really been afforded to unlock and display on the court. I'm a really big believer in his passing upside. I think he's got a ton more to his game in that realm, whether it's kind of making kickouts from the elbow. He's starting to show some stuff out of the short roll. I think his footwork is really good, but is he going to be healthy? And can he stay out of foul trouble? He leans on guys way too much for how big he is. He defends guys like he's 6'9", not 7'1", or whatever he's listed at. He's the second biggest dude in the country. Just stay vertical, dude. You're super strong. Really good shot blocking instincts. Incredible rebounder on both ends. Absolute force. Stop fouling dudes. You don't need to. But yeah, with him, it's just going to be, can you stay healthy? And if he has any sort of injury in this tournament run, it's going to be incredibly devastating.
Any sort of injury, and you're going to hear every scout just go, oh, and that stock will,
ooh,
yeah, be like plummeting down, you know, throwing it over a cliff. It just got to stay healthy, got to play minutes. Got to get through medicals. Someone asked in the chat earlier that is the combine rules this year. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Metcalf, I think everyone has to do everything. Is that the
thing if you're at? Year? I think if you're at the combine, you have to do.
You have to measure and give medicals. You have medicals. To
do all the measurement. Yes, measurements.
Yes, yes.
So
you can't hide it.
Yeah, unless you just don't go to the combine.
I think you might have to, everyone has to measure and do.
If you declare and you're 100% in the draft, I think you have to provide everything.
Yes. And I think like last year we had the big names that like didn't measure. And I think this year it's like, no, you got to measure.
Yeah.
And I think guys would try to like agents would try to hide the medicals and like only share. I think this year it's like, no, that's not happening anymore. If we're wrong, everyone can let us know, but I'm pretty sure that's the big deal because we were like, ooh, good move, NBA. But I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Just before we move on, Honey Badger with a question in the chat here. How has Walker Kessler's league impact influenced your Klingon point of view?
You know, I think it's focusing on an NBA skill set. Like, what can you bring to an NBA team? And I think with Klingon, it's like, yeah, the NBA is getting away from, you know, the overly physically imposing bigs. And, you know, we're not in the old school era of like, oh, you just stick a huge big down there and play inside out. But now it's, well, what if this guy can do a lot of stuff on the court? And like Klingon, me and you talked about this before the year even started. We were intrigued with the playmaking and we were starting to see some of that. And I think people, the 7'2", 280, yes, with the feet scare me, but he can move and he's got some switchability. And with all bigs, I'm right there with Metcalf. Like, stay out of foul trouble. You don't have to try to block everything, but like, he's got mobility. If a team's convinced that he can stay healthy I hate to keep saying medicals, but if those check out, I think there's a lot of stuff with Klingon that you could really get excited about. You know, we didn't see the outside shot trend this year. Fan called us out on that, but I do believe that's something that team, like, he's going to showcase that in workouts, and teams are going to be intrigued with some of the raw tools. So, Kessler was a name I was lower on, but I think that's also helped me look and be like, well, what's their one skill they could offer? Kessler's was very dangerous shot blocker and rebounder. Now I think Klingon could be that same boat where it's like, are we going to overthink this one, or could this just work if we have the right tools around him? What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Kessler's tough because he had the best block rate in like college basketball history, or at least like going back to 2008. Mm-hmm. So pretty good. I also think he's a little more, I think he's a little different of a player stylistically. But I mean, it's definitely in kind of an interesting case study. I was too low on Kessler, but I think that kind of mindset of he's not necessarily going to be a franchise center where you build a team around them, but he can be an absolute defensive anchor and really provide just some solid play finishing on offense. So it's fascinating. I think it's a good player to kind of look at and measure, you know, other guys just because of kind of how they play, you know, like Jonas Valanciunas, but I think Klingon is a significantly better defender. And the only kind of comp there is they're big and super physical. And Valanciunas is now stretching the floor a little bit more. So maybe Kessler is kind of the proper comp there. But I do think Klingon has a little more nimbleness to his footwork on offense. I think he has a little more passing upside. I think he has a little more ball skills than Kessler. But defensively, that's probably what you're going to see a lot of from Klingon. And if you're getting that guy in like a 20 to 25 minute backup role, I think that's where I get really excited about Klingon.
Yeah, I think that's where, like, one of my favorite fits continues, and I know some people are going to like start groaning, but like, I continue to say, like, I love Kling and go to OKC. And I think people are like, well, that's because you're going to start Klingon at the five. And I'm like, no. I'm not touching the starting lineup. I'm bringing Klingon off the bench.
Yeah.
To do a little bit of what Chet can offer, but he's now doing it as against backup minutes. And then now you have depth where, like, if you need to, in a playoff series, if you need size, you could play them together because they both have great feel. They're humongous, and then you have some versatility. But I would add Klingon as big depth to match up with opponents. I'm not drafting anyone to get Chet away from the five. I know that people want to keep Chet at the five. So like that's why it's one of my favorite fits with OKC, and I know Thunder fans are like, can we project somebody else? I'm like, why? It's a great fit. But it's, you know, we never know what they're going to do. So I him in a number of places.
Yeah, no, for sure. And with just OKC specifically, we need to stop thinking that whoever they take in the first round is going to start for them. They're challenging especially for the one
in this class.
They're a legit title contender. A rookie's not going to be starting for a title contender next year. So
no.
They're going to be this sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth man. And that's okay. Because they got depth already. And if you're not playing, they got guys who will. So
this is the year to get depth.
Yes.
If you're trying to find starters, you probably are in for a rude awakening unless you're picking at the top and you're in dire need of an addition to the starting lineup. But I think this is the year, if you get past a certain range, you're drafting for depth. You're not drafting for starters.